to Stuart Connor from Grand Bull Tail. This is a recording my dad made of a famous Crow-Indian warrior that belonged to the Crazy Dog Society. Lowy, in his book called The Warrior, Young Rabbit, and Sometimes Spotted Rabbit. The literal Crow translation would be the child of the jackrabbit. The story used to be a favorite legend among storytellers when I was a young boy, because the story illustrates how the Crow Indians felt from about the time of the Civil War to the Reservation era. The Crows realized that a drastic change was taking place in their way of life. They also realized that it was futile to try to resist this change. The Crows felt that it was better to die than to live in a world where they could no longer chase the buffalo or come and go as they pleased. The death wish was predominant among the Crow Indians. The Crows were constantly at war to protect their homeland. And the Crows also idolized young men for dying a hero's death in battle. These two attitudes culminated in what they called the Crazy Dog Society. This is the story of the Child of the Jackrabbit. As the story goes, Child of the Jackrabbit was the handsomest man in the Crow tribe. He had everything to live for. He was successful at everything he did, and he was also very talented. Whenever he went on a raiding party, he was always successful. But on one raiding party, he had been wounded in the knee. He could not understand it. He had been promised that his body would be like stone, that no bullet or arrow would ever kill him. He had worn his feather at the back of his head, as in every fight since the time of his vision. Yet his kneecap had been shattered in a skirmish with the Dakota. Then he knew that he had unwittingly broken his guardian spirit's rule. There had been a feast before the fatal battle, and then he must have eaten of the forbidden food. Soon there came a vision, a dream. A man appeared on a bay horse and said, "I told you not to eat kidney. You have eaten it. You shall never be chief." Child of the Jackrabbit had now struck many coups and captured guns and carried the captain's pipe. His record surpassed that of any man of his age, but he lacked the honor of cutting a picketed horse. How could he ever gain it now? Child of the Jackrabbit also had a sister that was married to a white man, and he felt that his sister had lived very poorly. And he always urged her to come back to the Crow tribe and live as the Crow people did. But the sister would not return to her tribe. Child of the Jackrabbit also realized that the buffalo were slowly disappearing from their grazing ground, and in their place came the white man's cattle. He also looked about him in the camps, and he saw that the young men were going on raiding parties. Some of them were going on foot, while he could only painfully limp across the camp. Finally, one day he decided to go on a vision quest. He started out on horseback and rode far away towards the mountain where he had prayed before. At the foot, he hobbled his horse and painfully climbed to the summit. He lay down with outstretched arms facing the sky. "Father," he wailed, "I am miserable. Take pity on me." All day he stayed about the jagged boulders without drinking a morsel to eat. Suddenly a huge figure came panting towards him, shaking a rattle and singing a song. "My son, there are many chiefs in camp. Of your kind there shall be but one. Tell me, have you ever seen the whole world?" Without waiting for an answer, the bear lifted him up. Mountains and streams and prairies and camps came into his vision. The berries were ripe and the Crow camp loomed in sight, and the Tobacco Society were harvesting the precious seed.
Far and away were hostile launches, and the leaves were turning yellow and the enemy was setting out to the Sioux horses. One Crow all alone was riding towards them. "My son, do you see that horseman with trailing sashes? They were trying to hold him back. He has broken loose. He could not be a chief. He wants to die. He is a crazy dog. He speaks bad words. He cares little for the rules of the camp. Where there is danger, he is the foremost. Dress like him, act like him, and you shall be great. The people will speak of you so long as there are crows living on this earth. This I will give you if your heart is strong." Then child of the jackrabbit came back from his vision quest, and the people were gathered near east of the Tongue River near Clear Creek. There was merriment in camp after a successful hunt. Suddenly was heard the beating of a drum and the chanting of a strange song. All ran out of their lodges to see what was going on. "Who is that man on a richly fitted out horse?" everyone said. "He approaches the center of the circle, shaking a rattle. Two sashes of deerskin slipped over his head and sent to the ground. Magpie is leading the horse, holding from time to time and beating a drum. At the fourth stop, he cried aloud, 'Young women, if you would be this man's sweethearts, you must hasten. He is about to die.' Then he beat his drum and addressed the rider, 'Remain on horseback. Do not dance.'" Then, child of the jackrabbit dismounted and danced in position. Then, because he did the opposite of what he was told, everyone knew him for a crazy dog, pledged to court death.
Oh, chamar a taka paitare. Ile ishuako, ile shira kase ile cha. Inde wale nusua burupia, inde kore leite misheti ile cha misheti imisho. Korupia, ishe vyevishi.
I am outside your teepee. Come out and watch the beautiful evening. Sky and earth are everlasting. Men must die. Even the beautiful evening must also die. The words to the second song are, I am anxious to look upon the enemy's face. All men must die. I must surely die looking upon the enemy. The words to the third song are, I am looking for the place where the enemy is hiding behind the breastworks. Old age is a thing of evil. Charge and die. The leaves were turning yellow when the crows went on a raiding party against the Sioux. The crow raiding party found a huge camp of the Sioux on the Red River, and after a skirmish, the crow raiding party had been driven off. The Sioux were galloping after them. After the Sioux had been chasing the crows for a while, Child of the Jackrabbit turned around, and all alone he was dashing toward the enemy. He rode straight up to the enemy's front. At the edge he dismounted, and the Dakota horde swarmed all over him, and that was the last time they saw the Child of the Jackrabbit. The Sioux women heard how handsome the crow warrior was, so they were looking for the spot where he had been killed, and when they had reached it, they wiped the blood from the warrior's forehead. They put him on a horse and brought him to camp. The Sioux women propped up the corpse against the backrest, knelt before it and wailed. The Sioux men became jealous and they built a funeral pyre and they threw the body of the Child of the Jackrabbit into the flames. Wailing, the raiding party went home. At camp, the soiled women cut their hair and gashed their legs. The Whistling Waterman rode up and down singing the praises of the dead crazy dog. His fellow foxes ran arrows through their flesh and jabbed their foreheads till the blood flowed in streams. Then they set up a scaffold on four posts, wrapped the belongings of the Child of the Jackrabbit in a rope and placed it on top. Beside the stage they planted a pole. From it was hung his drum and his rattle, and his sashes swept down as streamers blowing in the wind. Then they moved camp. This is the story of the last battle of George Bluetail's great-grandfather. George Bluetail's great-grandfather's name was Ancient Living Bull Blinking His Eyes. George Bluetail's mother's name was Pretty Sweatlodge. Her father's name was White Blanket or Birds All Over the Ground. Birds All Over the Ground was not a chief because he never carried a pipe into battle. His father had advised him not to do that, so he never did. And although he was on many war parties, he was never a chief. He captured a gun, he captured a picketed horse, and he counted coup on the enemy. Birds All Over the Ground's father's name was Ancient Living Bull Blinking His Eyes. Ancient Living Bull Blinking His Eyes was one of the two famous warriors from about 1810 to about 1850s. Ancient Living Bull Blinking His Eyes' mother's name was Buffalo Bull Running. Buffalo Bull Running was the sister of seven famous chiefs that lived from about 1750 through 1840. These seven chiefs were double faced, placed with his face, and one was called Duckabeth in Crow, which cannot be translated into English. It is one of the actions that a buffalo bull goes through when it is about ready to fight another bull. The fourth brother was called Wolf Nose, and the fifth is Hump of the Buffalo. Sixth is Hair Along the Back of the Buffalo. Placed with his face and double face were the oldest, and they were adopted by the son and also by the seven bulls known as the Big Dipper. When they received power from the son, they were granted immunity to death in battle, but they were not granted immunity from old age. And all of the seven brothers lived to be very old, and the only nephew was Ancient Living Bull Blinking His Eyes. When he was born, about 1890, placed with his face, gave him some medicine, and also granted him immunity from death in warfare. Placed with his face, double faced, and all their brothers were known as Daredevil. Because they were granted immunity to death, they were not afraid of anything. They made teasing cousins of everything and everybody, and they held nothing sacred. One of the famous stories that were told about them was one time they were taking a bath in the winter time, and the river had iced over, and there was a hole in the river where they took a bath, and about 300 yards beyond in the bend of the river was another hole. So after taking a bath, one of the brothers had wondered out loud how it would be like to dive in a hole and dive under the ice and then come up in the other hole about 300 yards away in a bend in the river. And without another word, one of the brothers, throwing away his rope, dived into the hole in the river before they could stop him. And he dived long under the ice, and all the brothers ran along on top of the ice, and they could see him through the ice. And finally his head popped up in the hole, where one of the brothers grabbed him by the hair and dragged him out of the river. If anybody dared them to do anything, they would do it. One time they were riding along, and one of the brothers wondered how it would feel like to fall off their horse in one of the cactus patches and roll in the cactus patch. And one of the brothers immediately jumped off his horse and rolled in the cactus patch to see how it would feel like. About 1858, Ancient Living Bull Blinking His Eyes had a friend who was called the one who would always be chief. Now these two were the famous warriors of the main camp, and they were always constantly going to battle against the Sioux, and they always came back successfully. They counted many coups, and the one who would always be chief was proud and arrogant. His medicine was the Golden Eagle, and he wore a war bonnet, and his talisman was a war bonnet. And he was never shot in battle except one time when they were fighting either the Comanche or the Pawnee. The Crows called the Pawnee and the Comanches with the same name. They called them Wolfmen. In a pitched battle, the one who would always be chief grabbed a pistol away from one of the Wolfmen. And in the process of grabbing the pistol away, he was shot in the left hand, and that was the only time he was shot. And because he was shot in the hand, left hand, the women fixed a glove for him out of buckskin, and they hung weasel tails and a scalp from the glove from a circle made out of porcupine quill. There were a lot of famous chiefs that were living at this time, and whenever they were in camp, the one who would always be chief would never look around. They were getting on in years, and they were in so many battles, they felt that they had seen everything and done everything. And one spring, the one who would always be chief decided that it was time to die, although he never told anybody. In camp, he would always sit with his left hand over his eyes, shading his eyes and never looking around. So finally, one day, his friend, Ancient Living Bull, blinking his eyes, asked him, "Why is it that you never look around? There are many women to see and many young men to look at who also want to look at you and talk to you. Why is it that you never look around and you never talk to anybody?" And the one who would always be chief, who was so proud, he said, "I do not want to look around at a mundane world where everything is always ending. And there is nothing good to look at in the world anymore." One spring, the main camp was camped at Rodden Sundance Creek. And a raiding party of about 100 men and women went out one day to the Sioux country. And the first day, towards the evening, they made camp on Prior Creek, where it flows into Plum Creek. And they killed some buffalo, and they were ready to eat. They had made some willow shelters. And Ancient Living Bull, blinking his eyes, was carrying the pipe on his war party, so he was the furthest downstream. And his friend, the one who would always be chief, was furthest upstream. And just about the sun was setting and the people were sitting down to eat, he had put on his war bonnet, his talisman, and painted his face, and rode his war horse, a bay horse with a bald face. And as the people were sitting down to eat, the one who would always be chief came down upstream, and he began to cry.
Kalau kalau is mau beli suka lo suka malu suai ikan sih sentak aku kalau kalau macam tu saya tu, isah kaya hisis pun tak hisis cerita kami es mai hari kasih jual kuat itu, okup itu sih, ini okup es ya kuat ya gugup kalau kampulok kus kuluk kus sekarang, aku pun kus sekarang jual kau solis tu ye pun kalau kau telah Καρακόλ μουρόκος καλαχαχού μάλλον σε κάκο. Καρακόλ αλάς και σαχούκο. Καρακόλ είμαι το. Ακμάχει λες σε. Αμαζέ τη σέβε, το κόμμα μάζε λες. Μάλλη λάχπο.
O Creator, who makes all things good and bad, who makes the world turn around, who gives life, who gives death, give me death. You put cowards to death who do not want to die. I am not afraid of anything, let me die. You put poor people to die, I want for nothing, let me die. You make people sick and die. I am in the prime of my life, let me die. O Creator, let me die. After he was finished, he came to his friend's little shelter, and he said, Little father, how do you like my little play? And oldest living bull, blinking his eyes, he said, You have done well. I am proud of you, and the women still adore you. And the one who would always be chief said, On this trip, I shall not die. But when the aspens turn fiery red and yellow, and you take me out to Sioux country, that time I will go home.